Pastor David with you last week, Erica, my wife, and we enjoyed driving through the Downs. Anyway, we're going to be looking at 1 Chronicles 29, 1 to 10, and it's David preparation for the building of the temple. But before I actually go into that, I'll just mention that if you've ever been to St. Paul's Cathedral, there is on Sir Christopher's Wren tomb, it says, "You seek my epitaph, look around you." And you have this beautiful building, and that's his epitaph. That's, if you want to think of Wren, you think of the cathedral. Then Westminster Abbey, which is a historic and a beautiful building, but it's actually full of dead men's bones. It's full of monuments. I used to go to Evening Song there, so I'm not saying that it's not godly, but the building itself, and a lot of people who go into it, all they go in is to look at dead men's bones. You get Westminster Cathedral, it's a Catholic cathedral. I often used to go in there in the afternoons. And that is unfinished building. It's unfinished. If you look up, it's all dark. But it's a place of prayer. You always have people praying in there. And then lastly, our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. And I wonder how prayerful and how intimate and our relation is with our Master, our Saviour. Now, if I was to break this reading up into two parts, it would be one, inward temple, which is costly materials. So the outward temple, costly materials. It takes a lot to build it. But number two is inward temple, which is costly devotion. A temple is somewhere that people go to worship God. Not to look at the beautiful surroundings, but to actually worship God. Now, there are three temples in the Bible. And the first one was Solomon's temple. And of course, we know that David couldn't build it because he shed too much blood. So Solomon built it. Then there was Zerubbabel. And the temple was desecrated for the Greek god Zeus. Then we have Herod, who built a temple to ingratiate himself to the people of God, Israelites. But it was destroyed in AD 70. We will all die one day. Given unto man once to die, then the judgment. So our outward appearance, our bodies, yes, we look after them, we dress them nicely, but we all grow old. Clint Eastwood is now in his 90s, and he looks it. If you think of what he used to like in Rawhide, if you remember that. He's going to die one day, and his body will perish. But what is left is the spirit, and that's what we had to cultivate. You cultivate worship in a church. You cultivate worship in our hearts, because that's what we're going to take to heaven. We're not going to take our bodies and our hobbies and all the rest of it. We will take our relationship with Jesus. So let us look at outward temple, costly materials. David devoted to the building of the temple. He gave of his private wealth. Now, he gave 112 tons of gold. And he gave 262 tons of silver. That was his own personal wealth. He gave everything for the building of the temple. It broke his heart, really, that he wasn't allowed to build it, but he certainly gave of his generosity. And that's what God wants from us. He wants us to give our all to him, of our wealth. Now, God loves a cheerful giver. We all know that one. And it's often referred to as money. Yes, God loves a cheerful giver to the God's work. That's Matthew 10:19. Freely you have received, freely give. Matthew 10:8. What do we mean by that? Well, freely we have received a God, so why should we be resentful to give back to God? Now, God doesn't need our money. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He owns and made all the gold reserves and diamonds and all the rest. He doesn't need money, but church needs money to keep running. So we need to support it. But what God really wants is that freely he gave of his son to die for us. So freely we give of our money, our time, our hearts, our obedience. There is a myriad aspects of our personality and life that we give to God freely because freely he gave to us. Who will follow my example, said David. All Israel, 10,000, all Israel gave and followed David's example. So a leader should inspire the church, should lead the church somewhere. And David led them to give 10,000 gold coins, 3,705 tons of silver, and bronze, and 3,750 tons of iron. You need physical things to build a physical temple. We come to church to be fed spiritually. We feed our bodies of food. I noticed, you know, you had bacon sandwiches and coffee, and the two are important. But what David is really saying is that I'm giving of my all. Israel is saying, I'm giving all our wealth in order to build the spiritual temple of God. And God dwells in his temple. We are the temples. Our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. And God dwells in us. Now, in David's day, he dwelt in the temple, he dwelt in the Holy of Holies, and only the high priest could go in once a year. And by the way, he had a cord strapped round him that went right outside the Holy of Holies, and if God didn't accept the offering, they dragged his body out. But I don't think it ever happened. See, God is about bringing us into a place of holiness, and it isn't outward, it's inward. And the Pharisees were very good on the outward appearance. You know, they roughed their faces up and looked in the marketplace. They would go about seeking people's approval because they were fasting. And Jesus says, you've had your reward. Now, God means us to have our reward in heaven. There are rewards in heaven, but it isn't because we seek man's accommodation. We seek God's. And I want God to approve of me. I'm not interested in man approving of me. But yes, we're socially social animals, and we have to be accepted amongst our peers and not act oddly. But that's not really what it's about. It's about God doing something in us to create a beautiful temple that he can dwell in. David forbidden to build the temple. I prepared to build God's temple, but was forbidden. And because I shed too much blood, poor old David. I mean, God honored him in his quest to defeat the Philistines and all the other evil nations around him. But in so doing, he actually disqualified himself from building the temple. We, like David, can't build our temple. Do you know why? We have our hearts tainted with sin. Oh, you say, we're forgiven of our sin. It was put on the cross. Yes, it was. But if we sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, inferring that we still go on sinning. And we need to be cleansed daily. And I give the example that every day I sweep the kitchen floor. You know why? Because it looks beautiful. You walk in it and at the end of the day it looks lovely. But I guarantee you that I get the broom out and I sweep it and fill half a teaspoon of dust and, you know, crumbs. And we need to continually allow God to cleanse us. So we can offer our obedience hearts. And that's what God wants. Are we prepared for God to sweep our kitchen, our hearts, every day? Because that is how we begin to get cleansed and become more holy in the eyes of God. Unless God builds, he who builds, builds in vain. Psalm 127. The temple of Solomon built isn't for mere mortals, but for God. 1 Chronicles 29:1. It wasn't built for mere mortals. It was built for God. And we are building each other for God's sake. We are here, Body Life Ministry, praying for one another, encouraging one another to love and good works. What for? For our sake? No, for God's sake, because God wants each one of us to be a perfect temple for his dwelling place. And we build on sand, but God builds on rock. Matthew 7:26. We try to build, we're going to build on sand. If I try to build my spiritual life, I'm afraid it's going to be on sand. I do not want anyone to build my temple bar the Holy Spirit versus Christ and God. I am not reliant on man. God has placed in the church apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, to the edification and building up of the body of Christ that they might become mature Christians. But they are not the total work of God. It is the Spirit of God within each one of us that is perfecting us. And we don't look only to man. We look to the God that began that good work in us and will complete it. And it is God's work, not man's. And so often we tend to elevate man. Whoever represents God on earth, they will lay down their ministry before Christ because their ministry was blessed by Jesus and it belongs to Jesus, and the work that it perfected is the work that Christ will do in each one of us. And the rock, by the way, is when it says in Matthew 16:8, upon this rock I will build my church. The Catholic Church believes it was Peter. And we've been to the Vatican and we've seen Peter's tomb, and it is absolute blasphemous. It is a monument to Peter. Peter was a humble fisherman. And when Christ said, upon this rock I will build my church, he was not talking about Peter, because it was Petrus, small, tiny rock. What he was really saying, upon Petra, the big rock, I will build my church. And it is upon Jesus that the church is being built. And my faith is founded solidly on Jesus Christ, that died for my sin and rose again to perfect me to become a temple worthy of the dwelling of God. You see, God built David's temple. I have found David a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. Acts 13:22. Isn't that amazing?
We all know David's sin and the consequences of his sin upon his family. And David had to live with that. But in Psalm 52, is it, or 1, he repented. And he totally repented. And here's God saying, I have found David a man after my own heart. And the enemy comes in and he accuses the brethren. And he tries to make us feel that we're useless. You are not useless in Christ. If Christ is working, he's working you. You are being perfected into something glorious. Don't listen to the enemy. David was somebody God said he's a man after my own heart, and we tend to think, oh, that's just David. No, he can speak it over you. He can speak it over billions of Christians across the earth. It is according to how obedient we are, how much we allow the work of God within us to be perfected. Don't you want to hear God saying, well done, good and faithful servant? God is designing our temple to shine as bright as Jesus. To what degree do we partnership with him? God is perfecting a temple in each one of us, i.e. our hearts. And he wants it to be as bright as Christ. Do you know that one day when we get to heaven, you will be completely sinless? You will be as Christ was on earth. Nothing that you do, think, or say will have any sin in it. Because there in heaven dwells righteousness. Nothing that defiles shall ever enter into the kingdom of God. It shall be a place of purity and sinlessness. Abraham waited for the city, i.e. the temple, which has foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Hebrews 11:10. And I want my temple to be perfected into the brightness of Jesus. If you had known me 50 years ago, you wouldn't have come near me. I was mad. Bad, destroyed. But in 50, 60 years nearly, God has worked that work of grace that I have been perfected more and more into the image of his Son. And I want you to believe that from the time that you got converted, there's been that steady work of God to build you into something that is absolutely beautiful. I do not want to be a temple full of dead men's bones. I don't want to be looking beautiful outwardly. I want to look beautiful inwardly. We go to the inward temple, which is costly devotion. God is building us into a permanent, everlasting temple that does not fade away. 1 Peter 1:4. In my Father's house are many mansions. Have you ever heard people going, I look forward to my mansion in heaven? Well, I don't want to disillusion you. You don't have to take my word for it, but the way I see it is there are other renderings, mansions, houses, or temples. In the temple in Jerusalem, it had loads of little alcoves all the way around it. Do you know what they were called? Mansions. And do you know who went in there? The praying saints of God. In my house are many bodies, many saints. I'm not looking forward to some house. I'm looking forward that my body is now a temple of the Holy Spirit, and heaven is full of beautiful Christians made into the image of Christ. Isn't that wonderful? Whether they are dwelling places, literal, who knows? But that's not what I'm looking forward to. I want God to perfect me that I am as beautiful in heaven as Jesus was or is. God is building our temple mansion here and now. It's not something that, oh, I hope to get to heaven and it'll all be. No, he's perfecting us now. Here, now. And how much of ourselves, time and our wealth do we give God in order to allow him to build our temple? And of course, it's obedience. So a lot of it is obedience to the Holy Spirit. Saul destroyed his temple. Which does God prefer, obedience or sacrifice? It is better to obey than sacrifice. 1 Samuel 15 and 22. God likes people to be have an industry within the body of Christ. But if that's all I'm working for is, oh, I've served God for 55 years in as a music or somebody who prepares the hall and sets the chair out, and that's what you're proud of, that's what you work for. No. You do that in service, but it's actually what God wants inside us. And Saul destroyed. Saul was obsessed by superficial externals. He neglected the internals. And sometimes we can be more carried away by what is outward rather than what's inward. Do you know that when I'm not a great prayer, by the way, I don't want to give that impression, but I remember when I tried to get into prayer, I used to have read books, listen to sermons, get all sorts of ideas, and I had this big folder. And one day, I sat down and God said, "Now, John," he said, you want to learn to pray? Well, it'd be rather nice, Lord. Right, the first thing I'm going to ask you to do is get rid of that wretched folder. Do you know why? Because God wants you. He don't want other people. That's their way of doing it. But what's your way of doing it? And do you know, I'm going to let you into a secret. Sometimes I go into my office very early in the morning and I just sit. I don't say anything. I just sit there. I'm with me God. Companionable silence. So often we think we've got to mumble and talk to God all the time. But there's companionable silence. I love just to be with God. So let's be people who actually foster the internal blessing that God wants to give us. God's building the temple. A broken spirit and a contrite heart, God will not despise. Psalm 51:17. So if you feel weak and, unsuccessful in your attempts to be with God, well, what's God want? A broken spirit and a contrite heart. The Pharisees knew how to come into God. They knew the word inside out. And, oh, Lord, we pray our prayers to you, Lord. And he says, you think you're going to be heard for your many words? Remember the little man in the temple? Oh, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Who did God listen to? There's nothing wrong in feeling weak. Be yourself. That's all God wants. He wants you to be yourself. So how humble of heart are we? I'm going to finish on this. God in the temple building forever. God is building a temple which is going to be forever. In him who is able to keep you from stumbling and present you faultless before the glory of God with great joy, Jude 24. So not only is he able to keep you from stumbling, how have I managed to follow God nearly 60 years? Yeah, I've stumbled, but he's caught me.
Yeah, I've failed many times, but he's caught me. I've gone the wrong direction, but he's pulled me back. I've started to sink into the mud and he's pulled me out of it. Because he's able to keep you. Because he that starts a good work in you has promised to complete it until the day of Christ. He is the author and finisher of your faith. Not you, not your minister, God. And faultless with in his glory of great joy. You get this image, I fear God. He's the creator of the universe, and I'm not familiar with God when I come before him. It's not, how are you, my friend God? No, I come with reverence and fear. But also I come with great joy as a child to a father. It's that balance. And when I stand before my God, I'm not going to stand cringing. He says, I'll present you before the glory of God with great joy. Because you'll realize the work that he accomplished in your lifetime and how he perfected you to become a glorious temple in his presence. You also, as living stones, are being built as a spiritual house and a holy priesthood unto God. The building blocks don't resist our master. And God is a master stonemason. Everything he touches becomes a masterpiece. If you go finish on this, you go to the Vatican and look at the Mary holding Christ by Michelangelo. He made it when he was in his teens. It is a sublime work. It is just breathtaking. Even more so than David, the statue, which is remarkable. And that is what God is going to present each one of us. That when you get to heaven, whatever the enemy accuses you of, however much you down yourself, however much you feel you're a failure, when we get to heaven, you are going to be a masterpiece of God's creation. And he's going to look at you and go, didn't I do well? As he did in his creation. Isn't it beautiful? You will, because God is perfecting us to that degree. But I end with this. Are we in partnership with God? Are we resistant or are we malleable? Have we a broken spirit and a contrite heart? Because that's what Christ had. Learn of me, I'm humble and contrite of heart. Are we people that are concentrating on the Holy Spirit to perfect that inward man? Or are we more interested in perfecting the outward man? I've been to church for 50 years. I know my Bible. I pray every day. But what is happening inside is more important. Lord, we thank you so much that David is a great example of somebody that really wanted to build the wonderful house of God that you might dwell in it. We thank you that now it's not a physical temple, but you have taken residence in our bodies, which are the temples of the Holy Spirit. We pray that we would be a malleable, obedient people of a contrite heart, that we would allow your Spirit to perfect that work day in and day out as we surrender our hearts and give our all to you, because you gave all to us. And all God's people said, Amen.